Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
Let's continue our teachings, The Fruit of Your Life. I'll read again from the book of Romans chapter 12. Because of time, let me just shorten everything. He said, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. If you read verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. And he said, the will of God is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. Paul said, this is one thing you must bear in mind. I'm paraphrasing now, shortening everything, because I have a lot to say, so let me save some time. In verse 3, it says, God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And he said, we are different kinds of people, even though we are in one body. And he said, we don't have the same function. He says that each one of us has a gift, and that is discovered through the manifestation of the grace that is given to us. That's in verse 5. He says, that's in verse 6. And he says, if you know the grace that is given to you, then you must exercise your gift accordingly. And he gave a list of examples. He said, there's prophecy, there's service, there's teaching, and some other examples. So whatever it is, you must exercise your gift accordingly in proportion to the measure of faith that you have currently. There's another scripture I want to read to you to continue where I stopped last time. Let's quickly open from the book of Daniel. We'll read from the book of Daniel chapter 6. Let me again read from verse 1. I may jump a few things. Where I'm going really is verse 3. It says, it seemed good to Darius, that was the king, to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom. Now those satraps are like ministers. He said that they should be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one. They are like something like deputy prime ministers. So that these satraps may be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Let me stop there. There's something I want to bring up from here. We don't need more than that in this particular portion of the book of Daniel. We are talking about the fruit of your life. You are occupying God's ground. You are using his resources. Therefore, your life must bear fruit. We have established the fact that ministry is not only for those who are preaching, but for every Christian. He died for all, that all who live should no longer live for themselves. We said that he did not die only for the preachers, but he died for all. He did not die only for those who call themselves ministers of the gospel, but he died for all. Therefore, all will live every bit of their lives for the one who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, the mother is a mother as unto the Lord. It's not just a mother who does the work of ministry when she goes to church. Every bit of your life is a ministry. So we have been tackling the matter of, where is my core ministry? Where is my calling in life? What is the divine assignment that God has for me? We have established the fact that life has seasons, and in each season, there is something that God wants you to do, and he will move you into the next season, depending upon your faithfulness in the current season. It is not every time that God whispers to people. In fact, he doesn't do that often. There's a woman, which I gave the story last time, Mary Kay Ash. In her book, Miracles Happen, she told a story in which she said, you can't outgive God. What I want to bring out from there is the fact that she said she was supposed to do some fundraising in her church and all of that. Pastor said she should help out. And she said, if people ever say they heard from God, that was the closest I ever had came to it. And what was it that happened? She was getting ready, and the thought dropped in her mind and told her to do certain things. And the thing was quite, outlandish, but she agreed to do it, and she saw the result. I'm just telling you the issue, because by that time she was an advanced woman, and she had succeeded seriously in outward matters, and one could see that God has really blessed her. But that was her first experience of God spoke to me. Are you getting my point? So you see, people are advanced in life without going around bragging on their spirituality of knowing how to hear the voice of God. I said before, number one way by which God speaks to anybody is just for the person to learn the simple principle of right and wrong. Do you understand my point? It's just a simple principle of right and wrong. You learn it. But whether God is whispering to you or is not whispering to you, he has a will for your life, and you must walk in that will. He has given you a gift. He has given you a grace. And one day, you will be held accountable for that particular one that was given to you. You are getting my point. So now, we are discussing what exactly you will do to find out the one that is your own. That's what we've been discussing. So we said that there is something that you find easy to do and others don't find it easy to do. And I said, don't ever forget this. If you discover that thing, give it time. Because the commandment is you must exercise it. Why? One day you are going to be held accountable. Now, last time, I began to explain something again. That you see, I need to emphasize this. And that's how Daniel was distinguished. That's what I just read here. Because people keep on waiting to hear voices. And I say, listen, God will lead you into the thing that is your own. And that as a young person, that's what I was trying to emphasize. As a young person, when we say young, I don't mean a child. I mean what the Bible calls youth, all right? If you read the scriptures, you find youth is anything from late teens to something in the middle 20s to 30, thereabout, all right? That kind of thing. And even up to beyond, a little beyond 30, all right? That's the season in which it is easiest to know exactly what God has placed inside you. I said something last time, that as you grow older, do you understand? The affairs of life, they tend to crowd you. They tend to crowd you. Please defend that, let me use the word, isolation of your spirit and the isolation of your mind as a young person. Defend it. Stop pursuing money early in life. It doesn't help you ultimately. Oh my God, I pray people will understand this thing. Stop pursuing money early in life. Pursue purpose. Pursue knowledge. Pursue understanding. Pursue, let me add this one to it, isolation. Look for the opportunity to be quiet. Are you getting my point? The reason is because, you see, that is the time that the real thing that God placed inside you will find it easiest to manifest itself. If you just join everybody and run after what everybody is running after, you get my point? You will drown that voice of the Spirit. It's not about people want to go and pray until somebody whispers to them. It's not the whisperations we are talking about. Are you getting my point? Yeah. No, somebody whispering to you. That's not what we are talking about. There is what is called inspiration. God just inspiring you. That is, your heart just wants to do something without you even knowing why. Are you getting my point? Something just pressing inside you, pushing you in a particular direction. And that's why I read the issue of Daniel again. That Daniel began to distinguish himself because he had an extraordinary spirit. I explain what an extraordinary spirit is. It doesn't mean the man just had somebody lay hands on him and the Holy Ghost was pushing him about. What it simply means is that what he was going after was different. You see it, let's take Nigeria of 2011 and 12 as an example. You appoint 120 regional, commissioners, and then upon that you put 3 deputy ministers, deputy prime ministers. Hey, in Nigeria of today, you understand? Most of them, there will be party. Now, this is over a kingdom that was bigger than the whole of Africa today combined. Are you getting my point? If it's our people today, you get what I'm saying? The idea is that, oh boy, not only are you made, your friends are made. And their friends are made, and their cousins, that is the cousins of the friends, are made. That's the average mentality. So when we say somebody has an extraordinary spirit, like I say, if I'm a pastor of a church, somebody tells me, listen, sir, I'm going into politics. I will make him come and stand and take an oath before brethren that we must never become rich by this. If you can't take the oath, go. I'm not going with you. That is, my prayer is not going with you. Before the brethren also tell us, what are you going there to do? And I'm not saying don't go if you don't take my oath. I'm just saying my prayer is not going with you, and I will not promise you I will be praying for you. Let those who want to kill you, kill you. It wouldn't concern me after that. Because I'm not going to sponsor, as a pastor, I will not be a part of those who will sponsor people who want to continue with the same old spirit. Are you getting my point? Listen, whatever you are doing in life, chase this thing, the extraordinary spirit. That is, I must be distinguished, not because I'm looking for being, listen, the other day, I was thinking about it, that what is this earth about? There's an understanding I've had for a very long time, that the earth is where, and I saw it somewhere recently, is where you chart your course for eternity. So I was thinking to myself that, dear Lord, why don't you explain it more to people so that they will know this is about eternity? A thought came to my mind that if the Lord did that, we now have we'll still miss it because we'll now start doing well because of eternity, not because we have the spirit of doing well. So God said, I've left you here, do well, for the sake of doing well. Let me say it again. You Christians that only give money because of what you want to get. You're a criminal. You must know, spiritually, you're offending God. Because you don't have the good spirit. You don't have a good spirit. Your spirit is a spirit, is still a spirit of covetousness. You must learn to do things that are good as believers because they are good. Because God is good. Because we want to be like God. We're not doing them because we're going to get. We're doing them because that's what God says should be done. We're doing them because this is the right thing. It's called godliness, godlikeness. Why are you doing it like this? Because if God were in my shoes, this is exactly what he's going to do. And he said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You are getting what I'm saying? You know, this is just on my mind. Daniel didn't become what he became because he was scheming to be. Some people are even trying to make a name as a righteous man. That's again wrong. I want to go there and make a name because I'm righteous. A Christian came here. It's not necessary. Just go there and be a Christian. We're not going there so everybody will, you know what I'm saying? No. Let us, you know, that's, we're trying to get a reputation. No, we don't need a reputation. We just want to go there and establish the righteousness of God. That's all. It's an assignment. You know what I've been saying? That if, you know, people keep on asking questions, how do I know? I said, knowing is easy if you have the right spirit. Knowing, that's where I'm going to in all of these things. If you have the right spirit, there's no method of discovering what is God's call for my life. If you have the spirit of righteousness that we've been discussing, the spirit of assignment, that I want to do this so that I will have done the will of God for my life and been a blessing to people. And the Lord will be able to say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Listen, you will discover the will of God. You will discover your gifts. You will discover your calling. You will discover everything without trying. And God wouldn't have to say anything to you about it. You just discover that the lines are falling for you in pleasant places. That is, you will find yourself in the right place at the right time. In the center of God's will. Two men I read about, Lester Sumrall and I listened to also, Lester Sumrall and Derek Prince. They made statements that were very bold. First time I heard it, I said, my God. Then later I realized that it's possible. One of them said, for the last 60 years, I've not been out of the will of God once. First time I heard it, heavy statement. I think it was Derek Prince I heard recently. That was before he died. He thought, said, I can't remember when last he was out of the will of God. Listen, if that was a statement made by a 40-year-old preacher, you say, but what they pose? You know, you understand what I'm saying? Na demo. He just in the try, you know? Both men made these statements in their 80s. A man will look and say, in the last 60 years, I've always done what was right in the sight of God. He's not joking. It's too late to be proud. You know, there's an age you get to. Pride is no longer an issue. But why is that doable? Why is that possible? It is simple. Because of the extraordinary spirit. Because of what the person is basically and fundamentally pursuing in life. Are you getting my point? For him, for them, all right? It was just to be found pleasing in the sight of God. It's not about waking up and saying, God, what's your will today? They wake up naturally and go about naturally. And the Holy Spirit then pushes them into the right places naturally. Something I was saying that drove me in this direction. I said, as a young woman, don't let it happen that you drown the voice of your spirit. Do you get my point? The inspiration, not the, you know, I invented a word, not the whisperations. You know, like Christians like whispering. They like to hear spirits. They like to hear voices. They want to see angels. No angel is coming. Don't worry. They are there, but they are not planning to show up. In fact, when you see them, you won't even know. Many people have been carried by taxi drivers that were angels that God sent to deliver them out of trouble. They did not know. So angels are always around you. Amen. So don't worry about it. What I'm trying to say is this. God doesn't have to talk. You are getting my point? He does not have to talk. He does not have to open his mouth and start speaking to you alone. He has poured the spirit into you. Don't drown it. That spirit inspires you. That's what I'm emphasizing. It does. And one major way by which people drown it, that's what I'm talking about this, is when they have a worldly and a common spirit. This is hard. If you give your life to Christ as a young man, and you, at a particular age, it's too late to start praying, God, what is your will for my life? You had better had entered it long ago. That's why, listen, as a young man, please, don't be in a hurry. Hey, God, you know I said to you earlier, pursue isolation. You know my pursue isolation? Yes. Don't, if you are, you are finished, you are doing your service, or you are just finishing, you don't have to jump to the first job you get. If you get it, tell them, I want to go home first, I'll be back in 6 weeks. Just go out and do nothing but listen to the gospel. Go out and do nothing but take a book and read. Sleep well, so that God can give you dreams and ideas. A lot of people are under pressure in life. Most of their dreams are nightmares. Is their worries manifested when they are sleeping? I dreamt last night. Hey, why won't you dream? When all your creditors are on your back, you will dream. As I was dreaming, I saw people coming after me. I just thought that it's your creditors. They are the ones wearing masks. You are getting what I'm saying? They are the ones putting pressure on your soul. Don't even think it is the Holy Spirit. Sleep on time. Sleep well. Relax. I don't know why I'm preaching like this. Sleep on time. Relax. When you sleep properly, then you'll be able to dream dreams that are of God. And you wake up in the morning with your mind fresh. Then the inspiration of the Holy Spirit can lead you. You are getting what I'm saying? Now, I just need to put all of those things together. Because that's what is called worldliness. Pursuing the same things the world is pursuing. You don't become distinguished as a Christian. No matter how hard you try, you can pray from now till tomorrow. If fundamentally what is moving you is what's moving the world, you can never discover God's will. You can't. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. I said something last time that's the advantage you have as a believer. And that's what I discovered, the ability to pray. Listen, let me just say this. No matter where you are, and these words are coming to you, are you getting my point? They are not allowed to condemn you. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. They're not. I said, well, Pastor, I didn't do that. They are not allowed. You say, what do I do then? Because I'm feeling pricked in my spirit. That is what I'm saying. We pray. You don't go around mourning. We do what? We pray. That's what believers do. That's what we do. We take the words. You see, it's difficult. You can't pray effectively until you hear something. I don't know what I heard I said. Only the word of God can stimulate you into prayer that is effective. That's what I'm saying. So for many people hearing me, look, 10 minutes of prayer after hearing this, we give them direction instantly. Why? Because they're not just uttering words. Something is stimulating them, do you understand, in the direction of the Spirit of God. Do you follow? So even if you feel like, I've not done things like in this particular way. Yes, that's good. When I say that's good, it's good you're able to say it to yourself. And you say simply to God, I have done what is wrong. Are you getting my point? Have mercy upon me. Instantly, the Lord begins to lead you in a particular direction. That's a matter of fact. That's the beauty of Christianity. Here, we don't learn methods. We discover God's mind, and we use that one to pray. What did I say? We discover God's mind, then we use it to pray. And then His Spirit takes charge of the rest. Then He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. That is what happens. That is what happens. The word of God is not allowed to condemn you. It's only allowed to push you and me onto our knees. So we pray and say, God, lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. You are getting what I'm saying? Because many Christians, they've drank of the spirit of the world. They don't know. How do I reject it? It's simple. Once you know that there is an extraordinary spirit, that is what will lead me into the center of what is the will of God for my life. Do you understand? Once I just simply confess the spirit of the world, you drive things like that out of your life by simple confession in prayer. Say, Lord, this is what I have been running after. All my life has been, I must make it, I must make it, I must make it. Even when some people come, you know, if you read my book, I have this tiny little book titled, What is God's Will Here? And the same principle is explained in the book on marriage. Should I say yes? All right? A lot of times, people are even saying, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? What they are saying, God, will this thing make money or it won't make? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Is this business the will of God? What they are saying is, will it make money? But I think I've taught enough in this series for Christians to know that is it the will of God for us means, is this where I'm supposed to establish his righteousness? That's what it means. And in that place, yes, that's the next thing I'm supposed to be preaching. And in that place, there is what, you know, I talked about grace. Grace has different dimensions. There's one dimension I've talked about earlier, which is something that just comes into you that makes things easy for you to do. But there's another dimension of grace I want to say, because I was making a statement. I said, when you're in the center of the will of God, one thing that will characterize it for you is a manifestation of another dimension of grace. That is, God's power is manifested, not just your own ability now that God has given you an ability. No, you will get to places where everybody's running. You will say, peace be still, and things will be calm. I don't know whether you hear what I said. I need to emphasize that. That's one of the ways you know you're in the center of the will of God. Doors that, look, everybody will say that door is closed. And when they said it's closed, they meant it. They tried it. It was closed. They tried to kick it down. They found it was made of steel. And after they told you, you get there. You touch the door. It opens. I thought all of you said this door was closed. They were right. The only difference is that when you got there and you stretched the hand to open it, that hand was a hand of grace. Are you getting my point? Which had the power of God walking just ahead of you. That's what grace means. That the power of God is walking just ahead of you. So before you touched it, the angels of God loosened all the locks and began to swing the door open. That you actually didn't touch it. You only stretched your hand. Do you get my point? What I mean is that it is easy for Moses to open the Red Sea if once he's heading the direction of the promised land and is leading the Israelites. The Red Sea will open. Listen, if that Red Sea, if there were 10 of them on the way, 10 would have had to open as long as Moses is approaching. But if Moses was walking in the direction of South Africa, you know, Egypt, down to the... If all the Red Sea would turn to ice when it's approaching. The next one would turn to what they call a lake of fire. The man would be having one trouble after another. That this grace is absent from his path. You know, I recommended a book earlier titled The Happiest People on Earth by Demo Shakarian. There's a story in it I'd like to use to explain the power of grace. How he and his father multiplied their head. It's so beautiful. You will see that this man was anointed to breed cattle. Are you getting my point? Hey, I pray that you will discover the place where you are anointed to function. You will love living. I don't know what I said. You will love to live. Life will be sweet for you. Look, you will have challenges. Everybody has challenges. Because without challenges, life is boring itself. Without it, life becomes really boring. Very, very boring. You will have challenges. The solution to those challenges will surprise you. Then you will understand what Paul meant when he said, "Not be me. I am what I am by the grace of God." And he said, what is the grace of God? It is a power of God walking towards me. So when you look at it, I labored more than them all, but not I. It was the grace of God walking with me. You know, sometimes when you read, Paul said that I was shipwrecked this number of times I was beaten, you'd be saying, oh, you would a shiver. Listen, Paul worked hard, amen. He tried, amen. But let me tell you the truth. The way he felt in the midst of all those afflictions is probably no worse than an average man will feel for being homeless. I don't know whether I hear what I said. What I mean is this. I'm not saying it was easy. But there is grace that makes him float even when when the sea is turbulent. Which, if that power was not with him, he would have drowned rapidly. Please, I hope you understand what I'm saying. When you're in the center of your calling, where God sent you to, where God says you go and affect people for him, the problem people have had, let me say it again, is that everybody thinks they thought they must be preachers. They didn't realize a businessman can be there. And God said, yes, that is my businessman. Just like the other one is my apostle, this one is what? My businessman. That is the same, you know, everybody's waiting for somebody to lay hands and people fall under the power. You can lay hands on the stock market. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. If that is the area of your calling, you will lay hands on a dead business. They will say, this machine is not working. Your workers will say, sir, we came this morning, this is not functioning. And you walk in there. And as soon as you are approaching, the machine knows your guy has come. And you say, which machine is not working? They say, it's this one. You say, but it will work. Now listen, let me say another thing to you. I pray that the power of God will be normal to you. Amen. What I mean is that it will work. It's not, just watch all of you move back. Oh, it is. That is Pentecostal gymnastics. You know, you notice something. When Jesus wanted to pray at the tomb of Lazarus, he had to explain why he was talking plenty. Yeah, because normally he doesn't talk that much. No, go and check it. And he had to explain why he was talking plenty. He didn't have to shout. He said it himself. I'm saying all of this talk. Listen, when he raised the son of the widow of Nain, he just went there, saw the mother crying. He was moved. He tapped the casket. Yeah. He told everybody, stop. They stopped. Tapped the casket. Oh, boy, get up. But that shout is a sign that you have not believed yet. When Jesus was praying for the man who had been sick for 36 years, only the man knew he was being prayed for. And he was in a place where there are many people. He just went there, dragged the seat. I said, Pale, how far? Well, it was normal conversation between two people. Please follow what I'm saying. It was normal conversation between two people. He said, I have no man. Anytime people are pushing themselves, you know, before I get there, somebody else has jumped inside. And the angel that stirs the water will have gone by that time. He was just talking and talking. So Jesus said, okay, you really want to be well? He said, that is the issue. He said, okay, take up your bed, get up and walk. The man said, are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. Take up your bed, get up and walk. All right. So he tried to get up and strength came to his legs. It was such a calm thing. He got up and walked away. The man was still rejoicing over the fact that he could walk. He didn't know when the man disappeared. Who is he? He did not know who. You know what I'm talking about? It's a place of his what? Grace. That was a manifestation of God's power. A businessman too will get to that machine. And they say, it's not working. And they say, ah, we have a deadline. It must work. And you turn it on and it will work. Say, I told you guys it will work. And he will go away. I don't know whether I heard what I said. To you, he's just, he's thinking maybe a guy just, he's not wishing. He's telling you. He's talking to the machine. When Jesus, you know, I told you something before. When Jesus crossed that tree, he crossed this tree shortly and walked by and next day did not bother to check what happened to the tree. It was Peter and Co. They said, ah, Baba. Like they say in Yoruba, ah, Nisha and you, you know that kind of thing. You know what it means? May we not offend you. If you see a man with just tell tree, waka, and the tree just fall, die. You know, you don't want to offend him, lest he does the same thing to you. Do you get my point? Listen, God anoints you as a businessman. You're in the place of your calling. You will lay hands on goods they will sell. You will do like, maybe they'll say, okay, how do we solve this problem in this company? You put a hand on your head, you know? You do like this. As you do like that, it's a laying on of hands, anointing, wisdom, idea, boom! In an instant. I like the story of what's his name? Peter Daniels. You talk to them for 10 minutes, they pay you $1 million. Because it's divine idea, no be struggle. That is before, oh God. You know one thing I say all the time about Daniel? Go and read the story in the Bible. There was never a day either Daniel or Joseph prayed before they interpreted any dream. Not one day. Read your Bible properly. As you are telling Daniel the dream, he knows interpretation. He said, what about that prayer he prayed? It was the day the king refused to tell the dream. You, go and read it. The time he gathered and prayed, the king said, I'm not telling anybody. You want to play me, why you? Tell us the dream. All the Chaldeans, the magicians said, tell us the dream, we'll declare to you the interpretation. The man said, number one, I can't even remember. So you, number one, remind me of the dream. So you want to go and cook up one interpretation. He says, I don't know what it is. Anything you say will be correct. So the proof is that, number one, you remind me of the dream. And if you don't, I'm hanging everybody. That was when they went to tell Daniel. That was the first and the last time Daniel prayed about any dream. And go and read it. He did not pray to God about the interpretation. He prayed that God might reveal the dream. And the moment he dreamed the same dream, he knew what it meant. As Pharaoh was telling Joseph the meaning of his dream, was narrating his dream, there was no interruption. If it is those who are not gifted, who are trying to be gifted, we say, sir, we'll go home, we'll call the brethren. You can prepare food for breaking of fast. We're going to be on 5 days fast on this matter. Praise God. Peradventure at the end of the day, the Lord will give us, you know, you are trying, you don't have it. Do you understand my point? It is not there. As they were narrating the dream, Joseph said, is that all? He said, this is the second one. He said, let me hear it. And they finished, he said, it's the same thing. He said, no, they said, I know, there's a second dream, but they mean exactly the same thing. Before he thought about it, he had the understanding. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is what is called grace amplified. Are you getting my point? There's initial small grace you start exercising with. But when you step into something, before you touch the door, the angels have opened it. All you need to do is stretch your hand, doors will open. Go and see Daniel again, I was telling you about. When the king began to tell Daniel his dream, Daniel's mouth opened. You know, there was a dream Nebuchadnezzar told Daniel. That one in which he said, I dreamt there was a tree. The tree was reaching up to high heavens. And inside the high heavens, there were all kinds of things happening to the tree. Then somebody shouted. And then caught, as they were talking, go and read the Bible, Daniel's mouth opened. So the king had to tell Daniel, "Why? What's the problem?" Daniel had not left the place. The talk was still going on. He said, how I wish the interpretation applied to your enemies. Sir, this was going to happen to you. But let us now see how we can prevent it. Now, I'm trying to explain the power of grace. Now, we keep on looking at it because these guys are preachers. We think it's a manifestation that is left for preachers alone. No. You call yourself a business consultant. When you do like this, it's the spirit of Daniel that's entering your head. You say, this company has been scattered for a long time. Help us rearrange it. As you are looking at the company, as you are working in, you are seeing what their problems are. Let me tell you, we're enough for teachings like this. You will be wondering why they can't see it. That is, it's only the teaching of the word of God that will let you know it's grace that you are using to see it. As you are entering, they say, for this, as you are looking, say, what is this? Why is it here? Who is in charge? He went to the market. This is the problem. How can I be going to the market at 11:30? He said, he went to the bank. No. That is, as you are just telling the problem of the company. Instantly, you already know what's wrong with them. You know what's wrong with them. It is not, let me now go home and go and pray, peradventure. As they are telling you, you know what their problems are. You'll be asking questions that will show that you'd have more insight than they have about their own business. You only go down home to go and write the report.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.